My brothers and I would like to welcome each of you to the house of the Lord this day. We do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask now if you would, if you would bow with me in prayer. Almighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, dear Father, we've gathered in the name of your Son Jesus. We've gathered for this service of remembrance. Remembrance of how much you've loved us, that you would send your only begotten Son to rescue each of us. For your desire is that each of us would have opportunity to return to you, Father, for life eternal. So we come this day in remembrance of the sacrifice that he's made for each of us. And Father, in our worship this day, might your Spirit touch each heart. Add to the preparation that we've made, Father, that we might understand that love that he had for us that would allow him to beg forgiveness for those who were crucifying him. So we'd ask that your Spirit would touch each one who's come. We have come in repentance. We have come to renew our covenant. So bless us in these in this hour, that as we have gathered, it might be pleasing your sight and most beneficial to each one of us. I'd ask a special blessing for each of my brothers who have accepted responsibilities. Might we be vessels that you can use this hour and this day to each one who has come. So we look forward to your blessings, Father, for we ask all these things in the precious name of your only begotten Son, even Jesus. Amen. I'd like to use as a scripture setting for this day some verses from the 51st Psalm, beginning with verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Over to verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it, but thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart, O God. I misread that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brothers and sisters, we're called to love God more than our sins. And so oftentimes we need to look within our lives, and only you can do that. Only you can look within your life. I can only look within mine. But we need to do that periodically to kind of see where we are in our relationship with our Creator and God, our Heavenly Father. And we do that this day if you consider where we stand with our Creator and His Son who sacrificed for us. I'd like to read another scripture. This would come from the 16th chapter of Alma, beginning with verse 227. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore, I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given to us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, there cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. All of our hymns this day will come from the purple hymnal, except the last one. That'll be hymn, and that's mentioned as the gold hymnal, so be aware of that. We're going to remain seated and have two hymns, hymn 139, and then we'll sing 159. 139 is the first one.
Amen. There's a apparent contradiction in Scripture if you read in the book of John where Christ and Mary were being somewhat criticized for taking a vial of very expensive oil and anointing Christ's feet. And Christ said, "You will always have the poor with you." And yet in Genesis, the Lord told us that the people were called Zion because they have one heart, one mind, and one purpose. They lived together in righteousness, and there were no poor amongst them. But that's not a contradiction. It's actually an accenting factor in that Zion obviously was not established when Christ was here on the earth. There was great contention and turmoil and frustrations and anger and bitterness. Those things are not in Zion. And not only that, when we are afforded Zion, there will still be the poor and the needy in the world around us. These thoughts, I think, came to me because it had slipped my mind until Val announced it, that we're having the dedication service next Sunday, which I think is exciting. And yet, our oblation fund is one of the ways that we address the poor. And there are poor amongst us. One of our bishops made the statement in one of his books that all those who have more than they have need of are rich. And all those who have less than they need of are poor. So I think we will have poor amongst us for a very long time, perhaps, unless we really stop and consider what Zion is all about. And I believe the Oblation Fund has a lot more to do with Zion than we sometimes give it credit. Will the brethren come forward and receive our offertory? Father, we, in our prayers, and it happened at least twice this morning, that your saints prayed about the coming of Zion and how dear it is to our hearts. And yet, Father, we're preparing to dedicate a structure that took 6 years to build and has cost much, much more than what our oblation fund has amounted to over that same 6 years. And Father, I don't say that from a critical standpoint, because it's important for us to have a house of worship that reflects our love for you and also is a proper atmosphere for your saints and for friends and neighbors and strangers to come together to worship you. But Father, there is a balance there that we need to prayerfully consider within our lives and within this branch. So we bring this offering before you, Father, for your blessing. May you bless the minds of those and the hands of those that will administer it. And may it all be done, Father, towards bringing peace and harmony within the body of Christ, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Martin can tell you that I've got piles of notebooks and old bulletins and lots of notes that I've taken through the years, from sermons, from classes, from different experiences, from reunions, from retreats, and so forth. And in one of those, and making preparation for today, came across, and I'm not sure if this was a class from Brother from 70 Rich Neal or not, but I know this was something that he had shared. And these are just parts of what he had shared. He said, what do I love more than you, Lord? He says, I know my actions aren't always what I say I will do. I know the scriptures say that I can't serve you, Lord, and Babylon as well. And he says, may you always be my first and only love. Forgive me for being so casual with my relationship with you, Lord. May your work truly become mine. May your word flourish in my life. I share that with you because I can relate to that. And I think maybe probably many of us can. When we look at our relationship with God and where we stand, I wanted to share with you, we've gathered this day in repentance, and we're going to share in the partaking of the emblems. I wanted to remind you of what the Lord shared in 3 Nephi in chapter 8. Because this is what we're doing. This shall you, beginning in verse 33, this shall you always observe to do, even as I have done. Even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall you do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown unto you, that it shall be a testimony unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. When it says shall, that's a promise. We have his promise. If we do this, we shall have his Spirit to be with us. And then further on, it says something very similar to that, and about the wine. And once again, verse 43, if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. We have the word. We know what we're called to do. We've gathered this day for this service of remembrance. We're going to have a preparation hymn now. And the table will be opened, and would ask that as we continue in our preparation that we can draw closer to the Lord and understanding of where we are in relationship to him. 275.
Thank you.
Does anyone require gluten-free bread? I don't see anyone. Would you ask now the congregation, go ahead and kneel facing the altar as Brother J.W. reads the prayer over the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did anyone miss their portion of the bread? Once again, I'd ask the congregation to kneel facing the altar as the prayer over the wine is read.
O God, the eternal Father, we
ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did anyone miss their portion of the wine? Ask now for your prayers and attention for Brother Chris as he would bring the message for this morning. I shared with you recently about an experience that I had while in Rwanda, with visiting with the saints there for 14 straight days. I was able to share with them in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and how that was one of those points in your life when you finally realize something that you've known forever. But understanding and knowing how important that is to us. I'm surprised that we only do this once a month. Because this should bring us such joy to remember Jesus Christ, to remember the sacrifice that He's made for us, to remember how much we are loved. And I know that you don't just think about those things today. But today, especially, we remember. John chapter 14, Jesus is teaching His disciples. And in the first verse down through verse 6, He tells us this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I will prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas was a little confused. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then Jesus told him that thing that he already knew. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus is the way. And we know who He is. And yet sometimes we struggle remembering that. Sometimes we struggle remembering that everything that He did was to bring us back into the presence of the Father. For God said that His work and His glory was to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. He wants all of us to return to Him. And so He made a way. And that way was Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16. Once again, He's traveling with His disciples. And Jesus asked Peter a question. And He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but My Father who is in heaven. You see, we didn't walk and talk with Jesus, did we? Well, spiritually, that's where we're supposed to walk, isn't it? But physically, we didn't have that advantage of being in His presence and walking by His side and hearing Him share His love with the people and to watch Him draw them close to Him. And Jesus, and God's plan, he knew that we wouldn't all be able to physically walk with Jesus. But he gave to us his Holy Spirit, that that Spirit might reveal to us who Jesus is. That he might reveal to us that Jesus is. And that he might reveal to us that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. And sometimes some would tell us that that's enough. We just need to believe that Jesus is. Well, it's an interesting remark because in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus is teaching and he has crossed the sea and he gets out of the boat. Y'all know this story. And as he gets out of the boat, he's confronted by a man who's been walking among the tombs. Mark chapter 5 and verse 5. I'll read a little bit more. He was come out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had been dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Now here's a man vexed with unclean spirits. No man can tame him. And he's run amok in this area. They've tried to put chains on him and fetters, and nothing could hold him. But when Jesus stepped off that boat, this man knew who he was. The evil spirits know who Jesus is. Believing is not enough. We go back a couple of pages there to chapter 3 in Mark. Verse 10. This is before he left on the ship to go to this other place. In verse 10, "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him. As many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Let's turn in Doctrine and Covenants to section 76. Section 76, Joseph and Sidney had been translating the scriptures. And they came across John 5:29, which spoke of the resurrection. And the Lord was revealing to them some things in that. And yet they were caught up in a vision. If we go down to 3A, we'll begin there. "We, Joseph Smith Jr. and Sidney Rigdon, being in the Spirit on the 16th of February in the year of our Lord, 1832, by the power of the Spirit, our eyes were opened and our understandings were enlightened so as to see and understand the things of God. Even those things which were from the beginning before the world was, which were ordained of the Father, through his only begotten Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, even from the beginning, of whom we bear record. And the record which we bear is the fullness
of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son, whom we saw and with whom we conversed in the heavenly vision. And skipping down to G or F. And we beheld the glory of the Son on the right hand of the Father, and received of his fullness, and saw the holy angels, and they who are sanctified before his throne, worshiping God and the Lamb, who worship him forever and ever. And now after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him, even on the right hand of God. And we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father, that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. So though we have not walked with Jesus Christ and seen him face to face, we know that he is. Because the scriptures testify of him, and as we read the scriptures and we come to know those, and we hear the testimonies, then the Spirit, which reveals the truth of all things to men, reveal to us that Jesus Christ is. And so that is the first step. That is what we celebrate here today, the beginning of that journey. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he came to fulfill all the things which will bring us back into God's presence. He was the way. He showed us how to return to the Father. And the only way to get there is to follow the way. Sometimes we lose sight also of the fact that the way is also a journey in our lives. It's different for everyone. Our time of probation is different than everyone else's. Even in this very room, our times of probation are different than everyone else sitting in this room. But all of them lead to the selfsame place, and that is returning to the Father. But the opportunity is there before us then to make a choice on that journey and along this way to follow the things that Jesus Christ taught us, because he taught us a different way. It wasn't a way in which we go through a list of A to Z, we check those things off, and we get to the end of the list, then voila, we've made it. That wasn't the way. The way was by way of our heart and allowing our heart to be changed, to be transformed by Jesus. Allowing our hearts to be softened and to be filled with his Holy Spirit and to walk and do the things that we saw Jesus do. The way that he treated people and the relationships that he had with them. The way that he was no respecter of persons. The way that he loved us. The way that he has drawn us from the very beginning to him. That we might come into the Father. That he might, in his last act that we read in 3 Peter, he will take us to the Father. I was sharing the other night with the priesthood at the meeting in our worship that I had begun a study of Thessalonians. And I had to confess to them that I've avoided Thessalonians for some time because there are some things in there which are hard to explain away sometimes. Give some credence to those who would use those scriptures to explain the rapture and predestination and some of those things. So I've avoided Thessalonians. But the Spirit has prompted me to that there are there are things there, or else they wouldn't be there in the Bible for us to learn. And so I've decided that I would read those things, and I've read them before, but I haven't really studied them. And so as I began to read this letter, it's interesting. I'll take a side note here. I was sometimes when I'm in an airport in foreign countries, I kind of walk around and see the destinations, the different places where people are going. What else are you going to do? I don't sleep well in airports, so I can either go find something to eat or I can look around and see where all the planes are going. And I was in Istanbul, and I walked by this one gate, and I looked up to see the destination, and it was Thessalonica. And I went, what? This is a place where the apostles traveled to share the word of God. And the word fell on good ground there. I'm thinking, people are still going to Thessalonica today. Just the way I think sometimes. It was one of those aha moments. But as Paul is writing his letter here to the Thessalonians, some interesting things came out to me in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we're remembering this morning and celebrating. And we'll go to chapter 2, and I'll read a little bit here for you in background. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. That's an important phrase. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. God's gospel is shared throughout the world by men who he can trust with the gospel. And that's what he needs. He needs men and women who he can trust with his word. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I've read Paul a lot. This is unusual for Paul to bear his soul like this to us. But it also shares with us what we're capable of as human beings if the Holy Spirit resides within us. It calls us to be gentle, to cherish, to be affectionately desirous, because other people are dear unto us. You see, that's the way Jesus treated each one of us. That's what he showed us, was that he was desirous that our souls would be saved, but he loved us so much that he gave us the choice, the decision to choose him or to reject him. He tells us that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from his love. Height, depth, anything, nothing can separate us from his love. And yet, at times we are separated from each other and our love because of a misunderstanding. Because of something that we assume is we should take offense at. But Jesus taught us a better way. And so as we remember him today, let's remember the way that he's called us to. He's also the truth. The scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God is given to us that we might know the truth of all things. And the only way we can know that truth is through that Spirit. As our brothers here during the time before Jesus coming, it's interesting, I read here, that this is a time frame about 560 years before Jesus came. Okay? And I was reading this, something struck me. They're separated from Jesus coming by 560 years. They didn't know it at the time, but we know that. But as I'm reading that, I'm separated from the time of Jesus' first coming by 2,024 years. It doesn't matter. It's still relevant to us. And during that time, the work of Jesus Christ has continued. He's calling us from that time to now, and will continue to do so until time here on this earth is at an end and a new earth comes. He's continued and will continue. And I want to read some scriptures here from 2 Nephi chapter 11. Wherefore the law has become dead to us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Remember, Jesus hadn't come yet. But they have the testimony of the prophets that Jesus will come, and the Spirit has borne record to them of the truth of that. And so they believe those words. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. And we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. Remember, 560 years before he came. And we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. And that statement is as true then as it is today. And the truth of that will never change because Jesus is where we look for the remission of our sins. Jesus is where we look to find the way back into the Father. Wherefore we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law. And they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward to that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. And after the law is fulfilled in Christ, that they need not harden their hearts against him, the law ought to be done away. Now behold, my people, you are a stiff-necked people. Wherefore I have spoken plainly to you, that you cannot misunderstand. The words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by denying him you also deny the prophets and the law. Now behold, I say to you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast out. There's more to it than just believing that Jesus is the Christ. We've been called to follow him and walk in his ways, and to do the things which he did, and to endure to the end. And then we're true followers of Jesus Christ, not just believers. Second Corinthians, we read similar words. chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The way has been laid out before us, and we need to look to Jesus for that way. Had an interesting experience yesterday. I was helping Joe with some sheetrock at their house, and I'm walking back towards our house when we were done. And they have a chicken pen. We have lots of chickens free-ranging, but at night they go in the pen, we close them up. Well, there's a door that we open, and chickens come and go all day, and then in the nighttime, they know it's time to go in, we shut them up, and they're safe for the night. Well, in the pen, I noticed that there were two wild birds and snuck in there, or picking up some grain that we had spread out for the chickens, and they were red-winged blackbirds. Really cool birds. I love to watch them. We've got a pond. We've got the cattails there by the pond. They love to nest there, so we get to hear them a lot, see them a lot. I enjoy them. They're really neat birds. But these two particular birds were frantic. They were inside this pen, and they couldn't find their way out. And so this pen is closed on top and the sides, but there's a big door. All you got to do is go out the door. And they were flying frantically, and the closer that I got, I was going to try to help them to get out of this pen. The closer I got, the more frantic they became, and they started flying into the wire. And I'm thinking, they're going to kill themselves. And so I start talking to the birds. It's okay, guys. Try. Okay, let me show you how to get out of here. So I'm trying to position myself so that I can push them towards this open door. All you have to do is fly out the open door, and you'll be free. But no, they just kept bang, bang, bang. I'm thinking, But you know, the closer I got and the calmer that I spoke, the birds started calming down, and they would fly, but they would land. They wouldn't fly into the wire. They began to calm down. It's almost like they were listening to me. They weren't listening to me. But they were calm because I wasn't threatening them. And so very slowly, I worked my way around the pen. One of the birds saw the opening, and out they went. The other one continued for a little while, flying back and forth. I would go. He would come back to this side. I would move around. He would fly back over here. We did this little dance 4 or 5 times until finally he saw the light. And he flew out the door and away. And I'd been thinking about this sermon and the way Jesus Christ teaches us. And we're like those birds so many times in our lives. We try to find a way that's not there. We try to go this way, and it's not the right way, and we bang into the fence. Instead of just stopping and looking around, we just bang into the other side of the fence as well. When God says, "Have my spirit within you, bring you peace, and follow my Son Jesus Christ, and he will show you the way." And he leads us to the doorway that we go through. And he frees us from our sins. God's way really is perfect. There's not a thing wrong with it. It's a way that's designed not only to give us peace and joy and love and patience and gentleness and meekness in our lives during this time of probation, but that we have to look forward to that at the feet of the Master. If we will just allow His Spirit to work within us and to be in us. from 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 12. Looking unto and preparing for the day of the coming of the Lord, wherein the corruptible things of heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the mountains shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, if we shall endure, we shall be kept according to his promise. And we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you the long suffering and waiting of our Lord for salvation. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's an understatement, Paul. Which they who are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, into their own destruction. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know before the things which are coming, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Our Holy Father in heaven, we come on this morning time to thank you for your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we ask that we may feel the love that he has for each of us. As we come into his presence, may that Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us in a very special way to reassure us that he is. We pray in his name this morning, thanking him for our gathering, that we are his people, and as we come in his presence, we ask, O Father, this time, that thou would continue to open those doors, that we might have a greater vision of those things, O Father, that you call us to do. We pray that you take away the fear and the anxiety that sometimes causes us to shrink from that which you call us to do. But we pray, O Father, that you would fill us with thy Spirit and that thou would sanctify us, that we would be obedient to that which you call us to do. We pray, Father, this morning that you would attend each one, that those ills and those things that afflict us, O Father, would be lifted and taken from us. We are grateful, Father, that we've taken the bread and the wine this morning. For we know that through that we have been cleansed. And as you heard the prayers this morning, as we prepared for this service, that you had heard, but you've honored each one of those prayers. We pray, Father, as a congregation, that we may be one in purpose, and in heart, and in spirit. We recognize, O Father, that you have placed us within this community that we may be a witness of your Son and of his glory and of his salvation that he brings to each person. We pray, Father, that you would open those doors, that we would reach out, O Father, with new anticipation, that they would hear thy word, that we would bring into their lives a new experience of love, and that they would know that they are accepted by us and by thee. We pray, Father, as a people, that thou would strengthen our resolve to do that which you've called us to do, to bring forth the cause of Zion. That we would be thrilled, O Father, by thy Spirit of those things which lie ahead. That we might be edified and strengthened, not for our sakes alone, O Father, but for the world, for the community, and for our families. We ask, O Lord, as we leave this place of worship, that that Spirit goes into our homes and abides with us, that we would see that our incomings and our outgoings are always in the holiness of your name. That in these things, O Father, that you'd be glorified and that we would be sanctified. We pray this morning, Father, for the gift of your Spirit. We ask, O Lord, that thou would give us the vision once again to be able to see beyond the common things of the world, but to see those things, O Lord, of your great plan and that of coming forth for your kingdom and for Zion. Bless us then, O Father, we ask, in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we would be your people and you would be our God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Closing hymn will be 116 in the gold hymnal.
Thank you.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we have remembered you this day. We have worshiped you in spirit and in truth, for we recognize the great sacrifice that you have made for each one of our souls. So, our Heavenly Father, we want to go forth and have a desire to go forth and to share this hope of the gospel with those we come in contact with. Father, put those in our past that we might share with. Father, we just know that your Zion, your kingdom will come. And the promises of the scripture, Father, it fills our souls and causes us to rejoice in the fulfilling of these promises. So send us forth with the power of your Holy Spirit, that all we say and do might bring honor and glory unto you for your purposes in each of our lives. Thank you for that gift that continues to warm our hearts and souls, causing us to respond to your love. Bless those, Father, that are with us this day, those that need your healing hand in their lives. Need your comforting spirit to bless them. Be with them, that they might also recognize and have that hope that we share. We ask this benediction and seal it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.